My name is Taco. I want to say shout out to all the raccoons on campus. You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby.
In this segment of our show, Don Morse will be giving us an update on autism anglers. So what are some of the high points from 2025 for autism anglers?
So some of the high points for this year was just the amount of supporters that we've had come on board, new supporters, people that haven't found out about us, and of course our awesome anglers program is just, through the roof. Normally we send out between 300 and 500 packages a year, and this year I think we exceeded the 500 mark. So we're getting national and international recognition, and people are just really starting to find us after these 5 or 6 years we've been around. So
what do you hope to achieve in the year ahead?
So this next year, we are looking forward to doing some in-person events, working with a local group trying to get a fishing derby started, and we also are expanding our social media reach. We're working with some folks on our team to get groups started where we can reach out and find like local fishing guides, local people that wanted to do get-togethers or just go fishing in different parts of the U.S. and Canada.
So those who might have missed our prior interviews or aren't familiar with your work, could you take me through a little bit of how you support the autistic community through fishing?
Yeah, so it all started back in, I started putting everything together in 2017, shortly after finding out that my son is on the spectrum, and I've been in the fishing industry forever and have been fishing since I was just a little guy. Reaching out to the people in the fishing community, from pros to companies, and all that, it was a perfect outlet to spread what I was learning about autism through a large portion of the people in North America that fish. I mean, almost everybody has fished or does fish, so it's a huge community to reach out to and share the truth about what autism really is instead of misconceptions. And I think not only, we're doing a good job with it, reaching out, but I think more and more people are starting to understand, what autism really is.
So if you could send any message to the community challenging those myths and misconceptions, what would you say?
That just, if you know somebody that is on the spectrum or has a loved one on the spectrum, get to know them. Everybody's different. Everybody on the spectrum is different. Like they always say, you met one person with autism, you've only met one person with autism. But get to know them and find out, really what makes them tick, what kind of things do they love. And the more time you spend around somebody with autism, no matter where they're at on the spectrum, the more appreciation and knowledge you get for loving on them and understanding what they're doing. Just getting to know them really opens your eyes to everybody else out there, no matter where they're at.
So in your time with Autism Anglers, since beginning the work, is there any success moment or story you'd like to share?
Oh, man. So many stories we get. When we set out a box of tackle or a fishing rod and we get feedback back from parents or the anglers themselves, just the joy that we see when we get photos or videos back and letters, for just getting mail. People don't get mail anymore, so when a box of tackle shows up unexpectedly, and you know, they open it, it's opened up, and just the, you know, the love that we're sending out to them, we get back tenfold, with the smiles, with the fish pictures. Just there's so many. I can't pinpoint one, but the fish pictures that we get back are just, they're heart melting.
So, what are some of the key benefits for someone with autism to participate in fishing? Being out on the water, I'd imagine, somewhat calming.
It is, for sure. And it's not for everybody. You know, everybody on the spectrum is a little bit different. You know, but fishing is therapeutic. I learned that from my work with vets, with PTSD. I saw the therapy that was, that came from the fishing. It just seems to rewire the brain a little bit for a lot of people. But it is, you know, it just takes your mind away from the world, takes your mind away from what's going on. It's calm. You're in nature. There's sounds, there's sights that you don't get in everyday busy life.
So, do you use any modified teaching techniques to ensure that every participant has a chance to fully engage?
Yeah, absolutely. So, one of the things, you know, we have to look at each participant individually, but things like I created a tether that goes around the fishing rod, so if for some reason it gets dropped or when casting the rod that, you may let go of it, it won't go into the water. Things like barbless hooks, always wearing a life vest if the individual is prone to getting too close to the water or going in the water. You know, there's a lot of things that we take it case by case. There's some electric reels out there now, and there's more and more, especially in the salt water, there's a lot of companies that are making smaller and more affordable electric reels for somebody that may not have the dexterity to use a standard fishing reel. But yeah, it's all a case-by-case basis, but the biggest things that we always push are safety. So life vests, barbless hooks, and, you know, one big thing that I always recommend somebody that's taking an autistic individual fishing is complete focus on helping them with the activity. So, you know, it's easy for somebody to want to fish along with them, but if they need the extra care, you put your rod down and help them out.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thank you.
Of course, in this segment of our show, Nicole Frisbee and Megan Moore Stevens will be telling us a little bit about their disability ministry work. So, can you tell me a little bit about your ministry work and its effect on congregants with disabilities?
Well, I can give it to Megan in a minute to give some background because she's kind of grown up in it, but I will tell you, I've just been here since August. I took over as the executive director August 11th, and we have four ministries, our residential, our camp, our day program, and our Tuesday night service. And what I have observed since I've been here is that it's a very positive environment, and for some, they would probably tell you it's been a lifeline. Our individuals are adults with disabilities, a lot of which are cognitive. And they are some of the sweetest, most loving, accepting people that I have ever met. And it is a pleasure working here and serving them. We, during our day program, we introduce and help with life skills, things like self-advocacy, all kinds of things that out in the world maybe difficult socialization, things like that. We also do trips, crafts, staying busy, just a lot of social interaction, but also biblical, you know, faith-based lessons and things.
So
there's a lot to offer, but I think we as a staff probably get far more out of it than they ever do because they are miracles.
So, I'm curious. You say most of your congregants have intellectual disabilities. How do you gear faith-based lessons to ensure that it's accessible for everyone?
So that's been something that the previous coordinator, Dawn Savage, often spoke on and said that that was an area where she struggled. But I have to tell you, she was amazing. Only recently did she move forward with some more personal endeavors. But she was really wonderful with coming up with lessons, both biblically based and as far as her other teachings and life lessons, life skills and things like that, that would actually cover that scope. It was really amazing to watch. I don't know how she did it, but I know that she said, Megan says a lot of pictures and things. Megan, you've been around. Would you like to speak on that more?
Love to hear. Yeah, I can see you now.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, thanks.
Good. I'm sorry.
I was just going to kind of segue there for you, but you can just kind of pick up where she left.
We utilize for those that may have difficulty reading or more cognitive. With picture lessons that would describe the biblical story.
It's also very interactive. So,
yes,
the individuals get to participate, and we do really get into character. We also have a lot of volunteers and mentors, so a lot of times there is someone to be right there one-on-one to answer questions. It's very interactive. So I hope that helps answer your question.
Absolutely. This next one, I'd like to ask each of you, in your time with this ministry, is there any success moment or story that stands out for you you'd like to share?
This is Nicole. For me personally, there are a couple small things I would say. When I first joined the ministry, I have to admit, My attraction to it wasn't necessarily dedicated around the disability part. It was more that I really wanted to join a ministry and serve. And then when I met our community, I literally fell in love with them. I was delivering the Tuesday night service, and our services ran by the individuals. So I would give the lesson, but they picked their music. They were on the stage delivering the music and worshiping, and just watching that, it was like, it was a moment, honestly, that I could not give words to. It was so deeply touching. That was a success moment for me, where it was like this connection. But then there are also moments where, when I joined, we had one individual that wasn't necessarily nonverbal, but he was much shyer and just didn't say a lot. And within a few weeks, I could see the growth in him. And we have these great conversations. And to have him come up and smile and talk to me, and then asking his family members what changed, it was just his continuous involvement here in the socialization. And those are the moments of success for me, to see the growth in people and to see how much it impacts them.
So I would say I've been involved since the ministry began in 1996 with the start of Friends Unlimited, which is our Tuesday night program. I have worked in the field now for 25 years and joined Mephibosheth Ministries in 2013 after working in the field with another provider. My primary duty coming to Mephibosheth was to start our residential program with that goal to be different than the other providers around. We really focus on the individual first, pouring into them, pouring into our employees, that they are people. They're not just an employee that's a name on a roster. So our mission is empowering each individual to live a life that they love, and to help them become as independent as they possibly can be. So a success moment is one of the success moments, I would say, would be an individual going from full guardianship to now utilizing supportive decision making, that not every individual requires a full guardian, that they can make decisions on their own. Some areas may need some assistance, and that's okay. They can designate somebody to help them with that. So that's what we did with this person and filed it with the court. And I will never forget the day that the letter came and they were technically emancipated and didn't have a guardian, and they were coming home from our camp. And I waited and waited, and I had it framed and stood outside.
So they were independent and thriving for the first time. That's amazing.
Without having a guardian for the first time, we both cried. So it was a great moment.
Like to thank you both for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
Handy Length will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
If you could save a life one day, would you? In Ontario, there are over 1,600 people waiting for a life-saving organ transplant right now. Every 3 days, one of these people will die while waiting. By taking just 2 minutes to register as an organ donor, you can save up to 8 lives and transform 75 more through tissue donation. What you decide to do today has the power to make a lasting impact. Join millions of other registered organ donors in Ontario and give hope to those waiting. Register at beadonor.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, Megan Moore Stevens and Nicole Frisbee told us a little bit about their disability ministry work, and we got an update on Autism Anglers from Dawn Morse. In this segment of our show, Mackenzie Muldoon will be giving us an update on Epilepsy Toronto. So what's the latest with your epilepsy work?
Well, Epilepsy Toronto's been super busy, as we always are. Recently, we just launched a new accommodations in the workplace guide, which we are distributing, and it's geared towards employers and HR professionals, and you know, people who it can also be useful for colleagues. But it talks about what accommodations, common accommodations that might be necessary but might not be necessary for people living with epilepsy, and simple ways to accommodate.
So I'm guessing that it's done in a way that it's easily relatable. The language is something that people can get behind.
Yeah, it's right now it's online. We're going to create a physical copy too, but the online version is best because it links to several videos, including 4 story videos. So we share the stories of several of our clients and how their workplaces have accommodated them, and the positive outcomes of those accommodations in those workplaces that being inclusive. So, yeah.
So, what are some of the common accommodations to get around some of the common workplace barriers and misperceptions?
Yeah, some of the most common ones are, you know, scheduling, having a flexible schedule, so more of a get the work done attitude versus necessarily be here 9 to 5 every single day. Hybrid work can also be really helpful for that, or remote work. You know, one of the stories that we share is of a neurological nurse in the neurology department, and she, when she first started to work for where she's working, I think she was meant to do like 50% of her shifts were night shifts or something, but she's triggered by a lack of sleep, so not a great fit. So they, you know, they worked out a system where she only works like 20% of her shifts are night shifts, and they're never back to back, so that she doesn't, and as a result, she's had very, very few seizures, and so she can make her shifts, and you know, some of her colleagues are happy to pick up the extra night shifts because there is a premium price on those and that sort of thing. So it all works out with the team, with her, and she's able to, you know, be a fully contributing member of the team. So, yeah.
So do you find that employers are typically receptive to learning more about epilepsy and what accommodations might be helpful?
Well, we're hoping they are. I think, I hope they are. We have this guide that we're trying to you know, spread around and share with as many people as we can. We're trying to make it as accessible as possible. I think often what happens is employers, HR people don't think about it too much until it becomes an issue, maybe, and until it's presented to them. But we're hoping that by making it an easy resource that and sharing it as widely as we can, that people, you know, sort of anticipate it so that people feel more comfortable disclosing. Because I think what happens is a lot of people living with epilepsy, they maybe try to hide it and try not to ask for accommodations because they're worried about the effects, worried that how they might be seen, worried that they're, you know, they might not be granted the accommodations, and then they've risked, you know, maybe their job or something. So, you know, that same nurse talked about in a previous position that she was in, not having the support and having a very supportive team, and therefore she tried to push through, and it led to more seizures, you know, because she was trying to, you know, buck up and just get through. And so it... What we're trying to suggest is that not just for people with epilepsy, but really anyone with a disability, without it, really just having a workplace that is open and supportive and encourages communication and encourages employees to come forward and ask for the accommodations they need to be at their best is helpful to everyone. It makes for a more united workplace, and it means that people can feel open to talk about their needs and therefore perform at their best. Yeah.
So do you see this guide being updated as different information becomes available, as research shows whether certain accommodations might be practical? Is it expandable, basically?
It's possibly, and it's part of a grant that we received through the Ontario government, through the Trillium Foundation, pardon me. So, yeah, so, you know, once we're completed, we'll be sharing it, and we're sharing it now, actually. But, yeah, I don't think it's got to be a static thing. Obviously, the videos and such are probably pretty set, but it can expand. And, you know, we have a previous program that we share on our website called Epilepsy at Work, and it's from a similar grant from before, and it's from a little bit, you know, some of the terminology is behind the times and stuff, but it's still a really great resource. So yeah, as the time progresses, we probably might create something new going forward. So this is the one we've created right now, and yeah, actually, I think it's an enabling change grant. My mistake. Got a lot of grants going on. There are other things that we're up to with Epilepsy Toronto. I started with that one because it's top of mind for me, but we have a couple of other projects that we're working on. One of the really exciting projects we've been doing is a program called Seizability. And that project, that program has been running now since, I think I'm going to say April, and it's an 8-week program for people 16 to 30 living with epilepsy. And it's a paid program. They get 4 weeks of training and soft skills. It's virtual, so we're accommodating people from all across Ontario. And then 4 weeks of job placement, also paid, and where they're in the workforce and they're getting experience in places that, you know, within their field. We've had people doing design work and writing and in retail and in an art studio and all kinds of great placements. And the feedback has been amazing. The program, people are making new friends because it's a group program when you're doing online, but they're also getting work experience. And in some cases, it's leading to full-time jobs afterwards. Or in other cases, it's leading to people going back to school and training for new careers. So it's very exciting. We have another, we're continuing that into the new year. And yeah, so that's another program we have going on.
I'd like to thank you for taking time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure, no problem.
Thanks. Friends, the truth is, no one in disability life is the perfect stereotypical model. You've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. You've met one person with paralysis, you've met one person with paralysis. They must be taken as individuals, with unique hopes, dreams, personalities, all their own. The fact of the matter is, in dealing with those who support individuals with disabilities, or the community as a whole, you're typically going to encounter one of two responses. Those who will be willing to learn and grow by new information, and those who are locked into the idea that because they've read something in a book somewhere, they have all the answers. Even when concepts sound similar, people can't just assume they know everything. People should be open to the idea of learning that a paralytic and a paraplegic are not the same thing. Yes, they both have an impact on a person's mobility, but knowing anything or presuming everything about either one of these things is just not all right. It's only society's presumptions of what a person with a disability needs that keeps progress from being made at times. Fact is, you learn a lot more by listening and observing, asking someone what they need rather than telling them what they need, looking at the totality of a person's identity rather than assuming based on one bad moment that they are in fact a bad person. Understanding there are going to be moments when people struggle with their conditions. Understand there are going to be times when we simply don't have all the answers. And the best thing we can do is to be there with that someone. Be a source of support. I see this a lot in families dealing with children with disabilities. They go out of their way to do what's never been done, to create where nothing exists at the moment, to give opportunities where opportunities should be granted. No one has the right to tell anyone with a disability they are less than or more than because of their condition. It is simply one part of their identity, a very important part, mind you, but it is not the totality of who they are. I love it when people decide to blaze those trails, because it makes it that much easier to follow in those footsteps. It makes it that much more difficult to say this is impossible, when in fact it has been done. For someone with a disability, you never want to cement it that a person can't achieve or shouldn't try to achieve. It's their right to live, to explore their own potential, and to grow as people, maybe even future leaders in our community. But it's the right moments, the right tools, the right listening, if you will, that makes such opportunities possible. It's very difficult to conceive what a person could become, everything that might shape their identity. It's almost impossible to know that someone with a disability, or anyone, can only achieve X, Y, and Z, and it's not our right to tell them that. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.
No matter your disability, you likely face barriers in your everyday life. At Neil Squire, we help break those barriers down by helping you access employment, technology, and the tools you need to live your life to the fullest. As a nonprofit organization, we empower people with disabilities all across Canada, and we are here for you too. Visit neilsquire.ca to learn more.
Hi, This is Sukyun Lee, and you're listening to